So this is from the November 25th, 2022 concert, streamed online. But the date today is December 12th, 2022. The time is 14:19 hours, and I'm Ward Green. I think I said my name incorrectly. Ward Green. I sometimes get called Warren. Warren instead of Ward. But my name is four letters, W-A-R-D. Green like the color, as I often say. And this is a concert, as I said, from November 25th this year, 2022, with the violinist Costel Nitescu playing with the Yosho Stefan Trio. And this is Blue Moon. Thank you. Well, that my mouse just went dead on me again. I don't know if I can fix it. I can't fix it while it's without rebooting, so I have to use my other mouse trackpad. Shouldn't be a problem, but it's a little annoying. But today I had to boot my computer 3 times before I got the my main monitor as the lower Acer, but that is the problem I'm facing. Ever since the power outage caused the Acer to go on the fritz. So let's... that's right, I can't use that mouse. I have to use my trackpad, which is okay, as long as I'm used to it. Oh, I can't use that. That's right. Okay. That should do it. I think that should be good. I think, yeah. Transition that. That's going to be better again, I think. Oh, no, that's not full size, is it? Oh, yeah. That is. It is full size. It's just I have my monitor in a different place as a much different size. Okay. My monitor window, cam window, my cam monitor window is different from the actual screen capture program, the program version that you see. Okay. So the psalm for today, little children, it's David's last psalm, it looks like, because at the end of this psalm it says the prayers of David have come to their end. And this one's regarding Solomon. It's not too long. Well, it's pretty long. Yeah, it's not too long. But it says the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, have come to their end. So David wrote down all of these prayers, and they were evidently songs too. So all of his prayers that he wrote down were songs that he sung. They were songs. He sung his prayers. He sang his prayers. Excuse me. He sang his prayers, in other words. He didn't just... Or they were songs that he sung. He sang. They were sung. They were songs that he sang, is the proper grammar. He has sung. He sings, he sang, he has sung. That's the proper grammar. They were sung. They were prayers. They weren't just songs. But he wrote them all down. That's the astounding thing. And wasn't that music exquisite? The Blue Moon rendition by Costel Nitescu and Yosho Stefan and his trio. Volker Kamp on bass and Sven Ljungbeck on rhythm guitar. That was... there's just, you know, accolade after accolade I could give for the songs that they perform. But that particular song, that was done right after their break, actually, in that performance, November 25th, 2022. This is December 12th. Regarding Solomon, let's give a prayer, little children, over today's study. Jehovah God, Father, help us in this study today of your word. Give us strength too, Father, that we might be able to be very active in proclaiming the good news. Excuse me, Father, I have a tickle in my throat. Help us to be active in the good news, Jehovah, and for the purpose of finding the honest people who are seeking the truth, who are faithful, who wish to be worshiping you, the true God. And that when we find them, we can share encouragement with them. But also help us in our study today so that we can better understand your word and the meaning that it has for your true worshipers in Jesus' name. Amen. Regarding Solomon, Psalm 72. O God, give your own judicial decisions to the king and your righteousness to the son of the king. May he plead the cause of your people with righteousness and of your afflicted ones with judicial decision. Let the mountains carry peace to the people, also the hills, through righteousness. Let him judge the afflicted ones of the people, the son of the king, that is, from verse 1. So it's about Solomon, the son of David. Let him judge the afflicted ones of the people. Let him save the sons of the poor one. Let him crush the defrauder. They will fear you as long as there is a sun, and before the moon, for generation after generation. He will descend like the rain upon the mown grass, like copious showers that wet the earth. In his days the righteous one will sprout, and the abundance of peace until the moon is no more. Isn't that appropriate? Blue moon. I didn't even notice that until just now. And he will have subjects from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Before him the inhabitants of waterless regions will bow down, and his very enemies will lick the dust itself. Waterless regions will bow down. The kings of Tarshish and of the islands, tribute they will pay, the kings of Sheba and of Seba, a gift they will present, and to him all the kings will prostrate themselves, all the nations for their part will serve him. For their part will serve him. For he will deliver the poor one crying for help, also the afflicted one and whoever has no helper. He will feel sorry for the lowly one and the poor one, and the souls of the poor ones he will save. From oppression and from violence he will redeem their soul, and their blood will be precious in his eyes. And let him live, and to him let some of the gold of Sheba be given, and in his behalf let prayer be made constantly, all day long let him be blessed. There will come to be plenty of grain on the earth. On the top of the mountains there will be an overflow. His fruit will be as in Lebanon, and those who are from the city will blossom like the vegetation of the earth. Let his name prove to be to time indefinite. Before the sun, let his name have increase. And by means of him, let them bless themselves. Let all nations pronounce him happy. Blessed be Jehovah God, Israel's God, who alone is doing wonderful works, and blessed be his glorious name to time indefinite, and let his glory fill the whole earth. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, have come to their end. This is about Solomon, so let all nations pronounce Solomon happy. By means of Solomon, let them bless themselves. There was something I missed in yesterday's study. One verse, it was Psalm 71, verse 3. You must command to save me. I missed that yesterday in the reading. I noticed when I was watching the recap video. Anyway, so Psalm 72 was about Solomon. That was a beautiful psalm, but it's more or less self-explanatory. It's talking about what David prays about his son, that his son would be living in a time where the abundance of peace would be until the moon is no more, which is a very long time, of course. It's a wonderful thought. Before the moon. So Blue Moon was the song, and I had no idea that this was coming at all. I wanted to do Blue Moon based on having kept it in the back of my mind, because Blue Moon was one of the songs that I realized was perhaps one of the best ones that they did, as far as the performance that they did, that they gave of that song went. In that November 25th performance. But they're all the songs they did were, they all had something to say about them in terms of giving them praise, I believe. They were all, I mean, it's just that the level of musicianship was quite high. But of course, that one in particular, they had the audio levels. The audio levels were better adjusted in that particular song, so we could hear the different instruments at more appropriate levels. So, you know, the violin was loud enough in that song. We could hear Yosho, but he wasn't too loud. We could hear, you know, we could hear everybody, and the bass was very good. It was, in terms of volume, everything was good. The mix was good. That was a really good example. There was one place where Yosho made a little bit of a noise. Otherwise, that could have been a studio recording. It was so good. But he made a little bit of, there was some kind of a microphone noise in the middle of the song. I think it was Yosho, but I'm not sure if it was him or not. I guess it could have been someone else. But there was a little bit of noise, just a little bit of static noise in on the track. Otherwise, it was so clean as an audio track as well as being a wonderful performance musically. So Isaiah 52, wake up, put on your strength, O Zion, put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For no one will there come again into you, for no more. That's what it was. For no more will there come again into you the uncircumcised and unclean one. I knew the word one was in there somewhere, I guess, subconsciously. For no more will there come again into you the uncircumcised and unclean one. Shake yourself free from the dust. Rise up. Take a seat, O Jerusalem. Loosen for yourself the bands on your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. That's a wonderful introduction to this chapter of Isaiah. Wake up, put on your strength, O Zion, put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for no more will there come again into you the uncircumcised and unclean one. Shake yourself free from the dust. Rise up, take a seat, O Jerusalem. Loosen for yourself the bands on your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. See, the woman referred to is the daughter of Zion. In the previous chapter where we saw Isaiah 51 referred to the woman who was being made uncomfortable or afflicted and drunk, but not with wine. That was the woman. Jerusalem is referred to as a woman. And Jerusalem is, of course, Mount Zion. That's the other thing about Jerusalem. The mountain called Mount Zion is associated with Jerusalem. So, for this is what verse 3, Jehovah has said, it was for nothing that you people were sold, and it will be without money that you will be repurchased. For this is what the sovereign Lord Jehovah has said. It was to Egypt that my people went down in the first instance to reside there as aliens, and without cause, Assyria, for its part, oppressed them. And now, what interest do I have here, is the utterance of Jehovah. For my people were taken for nothing. The very ones ruling over them kept howling. Is the utterance of Jehovah. And constantly, all day long, my name was being treated with disrespect. For that reason, my people will know my name. Even for that reason, in that day, because I am the one that is speaking. Look, it is I. How comely upon the mountains are the feet of the one bringing good news. The one publishing peace. The one bringing good news of something better. The one publishing salvation. The one saying to Zion, your God has become king. Listen. Your own watchmen have raised their voice. In unison they keep crying out joyfully, for it will be eye into eye that they will see when Jehovah gathers back Zion. Become cheerful, cry out joyfully in unison, you devastated places of Jerusalem. For Jehovah has comforted his people. He has repurchased Jerusalem. Jehovah has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth must see the salvation of our God. Turn away, get out of there, touch nothing unclean. Get out from the midst of her. Keep yourselves clean, you who are carrying the utensils of Jehovah. For you people will get out in no panic, and you will go in no flight. For Jehovah will be going even before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard. Look, my servant will act with insight. He will be in high station, and will certainly be elevated and exalted very much. to the extent that many have stared at him in amazement, so much was the disfigurement as respects his appearance more than that of any other man, and as respects his stately form more than that of the sons of mankind, he will likewise startle many nations. At him kings will shut their mouths, because what had not been recounted to them they will actually see, and to what they had not heard they must turn their consideration. That's Isaiah 52. But if we look back about this business, let's look at Psalms again. I think there's something about, I don't want to say and be wrong. Let's check and see. It doesn't look like it's there. Let's see. It doesn't look like that psalm is the one, or that chapter was the one. I believe possibly it's Isaiah 51. It's what I'm thinking now, but maybe it's Isaiah 51. Look at this in verse 3. Jehovah will certainly comfort Zion. Isaiah 51 and 3, he will for certain comfort all her devastated places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert plain like the garden of Jehovah. Right. So God was going to take away his cup of rage from his own people and give it to the people who were irritating them in Isaiah 52. 51, rather. And 52 is the one we're doing today. But here it says, there wouldn't be the unclean one. In the city anymore. But of course nowadays we don't have to be circumcised. Our circumcision as Christians is a circumcision of the heart. Nowadays we there's no literal circumcision anymore. This is the Old Testament, where back in the Old Testament, of course, it was referring to uncircumcised as being in two different ways, as being literally uncircumcised, also because back then circumcision was required for the Jews, but it refers to a spiritual circumcision idea as well. As all prophecy is, it has a figurative meaning as well as a literal meaning, as all prophecy does, I should say, as well as is. It is that way, and it does have that property of having a figurative meaning. Israel or Egypt, they went down to Egypt, right? And Assyria oppressed them. We know because Sennacherib, we know, came up and invaded Judah when Hezekiah was king, which was read, we just read that in the book of Isaiah, chapter 36 through 38, in that part of Isaiah. And now that I've said 36, I want to check to see what's in 36. Right, there it is. It's the beginning of it. This verse 7, I do want to comment on this. This is a very, very beautiful verse of scripture that I've thought it was in Malachi. It's in Isaiah chapter 52. How comely upon the mountains are the feet of the one bringing good news, the one publishing peace, the one bringing good news of something better, the one publishing salvation, the one saying to Zion, your God has become king. How comely upon the mountains are the feet. Is there a reference to Malachi? I'm not sure. Well, not here necessarily. Let's check Malachi chapter 3. Well, I'm sending my messenger. He must clear up a way before me. There, that's like the idea of clearing up a way. Similar to the idea of no unclean one, perhaps, too, in some sense. Malachi 5, is, or 4, I should say 4, is the only other one that I think might be the one that I'm looking for now. No, I guess not. So it's not in Malachi specifically, this idea of the one publishing good news of something better, or news of something better. But it is talking about the messenger of the covenant in whom you are delighting in Malachi 3:1. So that is probably the place where I was getting it from. But there might be something else, which we might find later again. So it's in, but that verse that, of which I'm so fond, is in Isaiah chapter 52, and I didn't really know that very well. I didn't know it well anyway, if I knew it at all, which I, at one time I must have known it. How comely upon the mountains are the feet of the one bringing good news, the one publishing peace, the one bringing good news of something better. Right, that was the one. The one publishing salvation, the one saying to Zion, your God has become king. Beautiful scripture. Now, Matthew 1. The book, or sorry, Matthew 2 today. We're on 2 now. After Jesus had been born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. So, what happened in Matthew 1 at the end of that? Okay, it didn't mention that. It didn't mention the birth until here. It didn't mention them being in Bethlehem until here. After Jesus had been born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. After Jesus had been born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. That's, we know, the famous nativity scene. I've got sawdust, probably, on my clothes, and also it's cold in here. I need to get my, it's the cold. I don't have a fire going downstairs, but my heater keeps me plenty warm, so I'm just going to wrap up a little bit. This is going to make all the difference, I believe, in the world. This is all I need, is something like this. It changes everything. It changes the body's heat loss. So, look, astrologers from eastern parts came to Jerusalem saying, where is the one born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when we were in the east, and we have come to do him obeisance. At hearing this, King Herod was agitated, and all Jerusalem along with him. And on gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he began to inquire of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for this is how it has been written through the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem of the land of Judah, are by no means the most insignificant city among the governors of Judah, for out of you will come forth a governing one who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod secretly summoned the astrologers and carefully ascertained from them the time of the star's appearing. And when sending them to Bethlehem, he said, go, make a careful search for the young child, and when you have found it, report back to me that I too may go and do it obeisance. When they had heard the king, they went their way and looked, the star they had seen when they were in the east went ahead of them until it came to a stop above where the young child was. On seeing the star, they rejoiced very much indeed, and when they went into the house, they saw the young child with Mary its mother, and falling down, they did obeisance to it. They also opened their treasures and presented it with gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. However, because they were given divine warning in a dream not to return to Herod, they withdrew to their country by another way. After they had withdrawn, look, Jehovah's angel appeared in a dream to Joseph, saying, get up, take the young child and its mother, and flee into Egypt, and stay there until I give you word. For Herod is about to search for the young child to destroy it. So he got up and took along the young child and its mother by night and withdrew into Egypt, and he stayed there until the decease of Herod, for that to be fulfilled which was spoken by Jehovah through the prophet, through his prophet saying, out of Egypt I called my son. Then Herod, seeing he had been outwitted by the astrologers, fell into a great rage, and he sent out and had all the boys in Bethlehem and in all its districts done away with from 2 years of age and under, according to the time that he had carefully ascertained from the astrologers. Then that was fulfilled which was spoken through Jeremiah the prophet, saying, a voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and much wailing. It was Rachel weeping for her children, and she was unwilling to take comfort because they are no more. When Herod had deceased, look, Jehovah's angel appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. And said, get up, take the young child and its mother, and be on your way into the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the soul of the young child are dead. So he got up and took the young child and its mother and entered into the land of Israel. But hearing that Archelaus ruled as king of Judah instead of his father Herod, he became afraid to depart for there. Moreover, being given divine warning in a dream, he withdrew into the territory of Galilee and came and dwelt in a city named Nazareth, that there might be fulfilled what was spoken through the prophets, he will be called a Nazarene, or sprout. That's where we have the idea of sprout from Scripture. Also Isaiah, there must in chapter 11, verse 1, there must go forth a twig. And in Jeremiah, I will raise up to David a righteous sprout, Jeremiah 23 and 5. Let me see what I can do here so you can see that. Right here, so Isaiah 11 and 1, but we have Jeremiah 23 and 5 as well. I will raise up to David a righteous sprout. So, that's it for today's study. Little children, I hope you enjoyed that. I'm trying to keep the study shorter, I think, today because, well, for one thing, I am still very physically tired, but I'm not without energy. I just, my muscles are tired. But that's really not the reason why I want to keep it short. I want to keep it short because it's a lot more quantity to upload, for one thing. Unless I have something more to say to you, which right now I don't, then I think I might as well keep it very short. So, if possible, that's what we'll do. And that way we'll save space on the internet. And Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but he came to live in Nazareth. Through the divine warning and the messages given by the angels to his father, Joseph, who was his adoptive father, because Jesus was born to Mary, who was a virgin, as we know from the account. And it was a fulfillment of prophecy that the child would be born to a virgin. But it did come to pass. It came true, and it's one of the most amazing and wonderful parts of the story and the account of Jesus in the Gospels that we have. We have from the Gospels, of course. We have it only from the Gospels, really. These are the only sources that we have the direct information that was transmitted regarding the life of Jesus from the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And this is the book of Matthew that we're studying today. So this is Ward Green, December 12th, 2022, 1500 hours. And have a great day. I hope you enjoyed your watching. Bye for now.